Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
In our study in Paul's epistle to the Galatians, we have come in chapter 2 to the time when Paul went to Jerusalem to consult with the leaders of the church there regarding the problem that was developing among the Gentile churches because of Judaizers, that is, false teachers, from the Jerusalem church who were preaching a false gospel among the Gentiles. And in addressing this problem, we learn some things about how to resolve conflicts God's way. A pretty important subject, wouldn't you agree? And we need to learn this. You are not going to get through life without having any conflicts. I probably don't need to tell you that, because my observation is that most of God's people have a lot of conflicts. Sometimes people think that there shouldn't be any once you get saved. Wrong, brother. You're not in heaven yet. So, of course, there are going to be conflicts. As long as there are sinners, there are going to be conflicts. You say, I'm not a sinner. I'm a Christian. I'm a saint. You're still a sinner. Not the same as you were before you were saved, but you're still a sinner. Until you are sinless, you are a sinner. And since the world is populated by sinners, there are going to be conflicts. Because the church is populated with sinners, there are going to be conflicts. So we've got to learn how to address them God's way, because I observe that a lot of people go through life just basically running from one conflict after another, one broken relationship after another. That's the only way some people know how to deal with them, is just to leave. If you have a problem with this job, you leave. Go find another job. If you have a problem with this church, you leave. You go find another church. If you have a problem with this marriage, you leave. You go find another spouse. And on and on and on it goes. Can't do that in every situation, but that's the way people handle a lot of conflicts, and that's usually the way they would prefer to handle them all. If I can just get away from here, put some distance, not have to talk about it, not have to deal with it, not have to bump into that person, then I won't have any more problem. Wrong, because part of the problem is within you. It's a failure to recognize that, or to be honest with it, or willing to deal with it, even if you do recognize it, that is at the heart of the problem here. You can't solve your problems by removing yourself from the relationship, because you're still carrying part of that problem, that broken relationship with you. It doesn't stay behind. It's not them. It's us. It's not it, what happened. It's me, how I responded to it. And if you don't learn anything from the conflict by working through it, addressing it God's way, then you're just going to repeat it again. Another relationship, another set of circumstances, the details are going to be different, but your response to a similar situation is going to be the same again. And here we go again. And there we are, just bouncing from one broken relationship to another. Some people have a whole trail of wrecks in their path behind them. That's no way to live. That's certainly no way to honor the Lord. So, principles of conflict resolution. Number one, prepare your heart before God. Number two, go to the person who is responsible for the problem. We saw it in Matthew 5, 23 and 24 yesterday, how that God considers this so important that he says, don't even continue to worship me until first you go and resolve this problem between you and your brother. And of course, there's Matthew 18:15-16. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother, but if he will not hear you, take one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. So in Matthew 5, you go to your brother if you remember he has something against you. In Matthew 18, you go to your brother if he has sinned against you. In other words, if you think that he's done something wrong against you. Matthew 5, you become aware that your brother thinks you have wronged him. Matthew 18, you think your brother has wronged you. And in both cases, the responsibility is upon you to go to him, to her, the person responsible. You say, now, wait a minute. I can't be responsible in both of those situations. Yes, you are. The Bible says, well, what about the other one? Doesn't he have a responsibility? Well, of course he does, and ideally, you'll bump into each other as each of you are going to the other's house. You'll bump into each other halfway there. That would be ideal. But, you see, you're not responsible to God for the way your brother responds. You're responsible before God to the way you respond. Or maybe I should put it this way. You're not responsible before God for your brother's obedience, but you're responsible before God for yours. If you don't do what God said for you to do, that's disobedience. Disobedience is sin. So you go to the one who is responsible for the problem, the one who can bring about godly resolution. That's what Paul did in Galatians chapter 2. He went to Jerusalem, the center of Christianity, to the location of the church where these Judaizers were coming out from. He went to the leaders of the church, Peter and James and John. He went to the ones who were responsible for the problem, in a sense. He went to the ones who could bring about godly resolution, for sure. And so that's what we must do. We must begin with the ones who are most directly involved in this conflict. Do not go first to those who are not part of the problem and its solution. Do not begin with those who are only marginally involved. And so often that's the case. And dear friend, realize there's a fine line between making prayer requests and seeking counsel and taking your problem to the wrong person, talking about it with someone that you have no business talking to it about, no right to talk to it about. The Bible principle is very clear. If you haven't talked to the person with whom you have the problem, you don't have permission to talk to anybody else. Who do you have permission to talk to? In fact, who do you have responsibility to talk to? God and the person involved. What's so hard about that? God and the person involved. Well, I've got a prayer request. I'm having a problem with so-and-so. He said this. She did that. I want you to pray about it. You rascal. You haven't talked to them about it. You're talking to other people about it. Well, I'm just asking for prayer. Or you come to someone. I need some advice. I need some counsel. I'm having a problem with so-and-so. They did this. Well, have you talked to them about it? No, I'm seeking counsel. You don't need to seek counsel about something that the Bible has already told you what to do. That's disobedience. Why do you need counsel? The Bible tells you what to do. Go to the person involved. That's the only person that you have permission to talk to about this problem. If after you've gone, there's still a problem, then Matthew tells you that maybe then you should take one or two more. So now you do have permission to talk to one or two others about the problem sufficiently to engage them in helping you to address it with the person that's responsible or the person who is most involved with the problem. But you don't have permission to tell anybody about it until you have first approached the person involved about it. Why is that so hard? I hear the excuses. I hear them often. Well, there's no use in my going to that person. What do you mean, no use? Well, it's not going to solve anything. They're not going to listen. Well, you might be right, but you might be wrong. But it really is not even makes no difference whether you're right or wrong. That's not your call. Your call is to do what God told you to do. Leave the results in God's hands. Since when did God make you responsible for the results? Since when did God tell you that you have the right to obey or disobey His word depending upon what you think it's going to accomplish? Whether you think it's going to work, meaning basically that it will work the way you think it ought to. You know, God has a number of purposes in this. Even if you're going to that person, doesn't succeed in resolving the conflict, it can have a wonderful sanctifying effect in your life. It can really help you to grow in grace, and it may help the other person too. Even if the problem isn't completely solved, it may have a wonderful spiritual impact in their lives. And even if it doesn't, at least you have been obedient. You can stand before God someday and say, I tried to solve this problem. God, you know I did. I did what your word said. And He will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You did what I told you to do. You're not responsible for the results, but you are responsible for your own obedience or disobedience. What do you mean it's no use to go? That's beside the point. What do you mean they won't listen to me? That's beside the point. If they won't, then that's their problem before God. They'll have to answer to Him for that, for their disobedience. But if you don't go, you're going to have to answer for your disobedience. Now, one thing is clear, that these Bible instructions in Matthew 5 and Matthew 18 do require and presuppose a willingness to receive any brother who wants to come to you and talk about a problem. Nobody has a right to say, I don't want to talk about it. I'm not going to talk to you about that. I refuse to talk to you about that. That takes us back to the doctrine of mutual submission that we talked about on the broadcast last week. And that's part of what that means. You submit yourself to your brother if he wants to come and talk to you about a problem. You don't have a right to say no. As far as I'm concerned, I don't want to talk about it. As far as I'm concerned, this is not the way to resolve it. As far as I'm concerned, there is no problem, so forget it. Well, if your brother has a problem, then there is a problem. Listen to him. Talk to him. See what he has to say. Lay all the facts on the table with a humble, submissive spirit. Listen to all viewpoints and endeavor to come to a mutually agreeable understanding. Be prepared to go more than once, privately and individually, as often as necessary, and as often as any progress is being made. And then, if all of this does seem to fail, as far as resolving the conflict, be prepared to stand for truth in the kindest way possible. And oh, if we would do this, what a difference it would make in our homes, our marriages, our churches, our jobs. How that would help to reduce the stress of broken relationships. How it would help to promote peace within the body of Christ. How it would glorify Christ and advance His kingdom. How we need to understand this and apply it. May God help us. May God help us to be Christians. To do what Christ told us to do. Followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Obeying Him in regard to conflict resolution. Until tomorrow at this same time, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.